Sully Show. Rick Lippert, Yahoo sports writer and tech columnist for Examiner.com, joins us next. We'll talk a little Hawks basketball with him, but get to some really good stuff that's happening in the tech world. Google Glass. It's all next on Talk Radio 640 WGST. True statement, and I endorse that. It's the Sully Show on Talk Radio 640 WGST. I'm Sully. Along with one and only Theme Park Chris on Twitter.
Hi.
Chris East. Playing the tunes, doing his due, and answering your calls at 404-367-9478. Again, our number is 404-367-9478. Always good to get the chance to talk with Rick Lippert. He is an Atlanta-based Yahoo News and sports contributor. He covers sports technology on a national level and also writes a daily tech column for Examiner.com. And you can follow him on Twitter by hooking up with him. His Twitter handle is Rick Roswell. And good to talk to Rick Lippert. Rick, what's going on, bro?
Sully, I'm doing well. Always good to talk to you.
Oh, good to talk to you. I know that you have been having NBA playoff duties here the last number of nights. I know that you took in the ball games up there in Indianapolis, and of course the Hawks back at home for Game 3 tonight at Phillips Arena. How was the experience in Indianapolis?
Well, anytime you're watching basketball in Indiana, it's a good thing. Those fans, the basketball crazy state, and not only college, but they love their Pacers up there, and it was fun to be there for the game. I was doing more than just watching the basketball. I was doing some technology work up there, so it was fun.
Well, I mean, you are always working, Rick, and I know that sometimes you get tough assignments, like having to hang out with NBA cheerleaders and that sort of thing. But tell us a little bit about what the Pacers were doing with Google Glass at these past two games.
Yeah, they've been doing this since March. They're one of three NBA teams that have bought Google Glass for some of their fans and for employees of the team to wear during the game. And what happens, what they're filming with the Google Glass is sometimes beamed up to the big screen. So you can see different perspectives of an NBA game that you've never seen before. They put the Google Glass on their cheerleaders so you can see their perspective. They put it on fans. They put it on members of the band. They put it on the PA announcer. So it's really giving a perspective and something different that you're not accustomed to seeing. And I have bought them for it. It's been a pretty good experiment. They seem to be pleased with it. It's a company called Crowd Optics that powers the technology behind it. And for the fan experience, I think it's really enhancing it.
I'm talking with Rick Lippert. You can follow him on Twitter at Rick Roswell. He writes for Yahoo News and Yahoo Sports. Also check his work out on Examiner.com. Rick, we've talked a little bit about Google Glass and how we're both kind of on the skeptical side. I do have to say, though, checking out some of the images from the Pacer game and the cheerleaders here, kind of look like a little bit of pirates there with the Google Glass on, and it does kind of work to cover up the right eye a little bit, no?
Yeah, well, the little screen is, of course, off the right eye. I mean, yeah, we talked about Google Glass and how, as a consumer device, it may be a little sketchy, but I think this is where Google Glass really shines. When you have it in a controlled environment, you have it on fans that the team knows that are going to send some cool images that other people can see, people with the team. I think there's going to come a day where maybe referees will be wearing Google Glass or players in warm-ups, and I think fans would set that stuff up.
Well, they would, and certainly media outlets like ESPN would really be, I'm sure, enthusiastic about having the opportunity to have some different angles to present to their audience, too. So this could be a really good thing for them. We'll keep an eye on that as we chat with Rick Roswell, columnist for Examiner.com, and he also writes for Yahoo News and Sports. One story that I think is really interesting is the idea of a kill switch being standard on all American phones. This is really close to happening by the year 2015. What's up with this, Rick?
Yeah, I've been covering this for a couple of years. This is actually probably the biggest story of late last week. I thought that the smartphone makers are going to have to put a kill switch on phones now, starting in 2015, any phones they make, which will wipe the data off phones if the user chooses to do that, if the phone is lost or stolen. So all the big cellular carriers now are on board with this. And, there's some apps you can get that wipe data, and apps you can get to find your lost phone. But that doesn't happen all the time. So having just a general kill switch that we know works. So you got to protect your data, as we all know, with password breaches and viruses. So I think this is big news.
Well, I'm also kind of curious, because I think the fact that this is being talked about and maybe becoming the law of the land, how much does that speak to just how vulnerable our passwords are? When we lock our phones and we have a 4 or 5-digit code that we have to enter, or some phones have a little finger scanner thing, just how easy is that to bypass?
Well, it is easy to bypass, and there also are apps that will, you can plug your phone into a computer and it will transfer the data, it will bypass the password and transfer it to another computer. I mean, the crooks are always one step ahead of the normal people, so as you know, our lives are on these phones, pictures, information, financial data. These phones now, and it's something we just carry around in our pocket willy-nilly. We got to protect these phones, and when you lose a phone, that's, now it's the worst feeling in the world. You didn't even lock your wallet, it was the worst feeling. Now you lose your phone, it's devastating. So put this kill switch on, there's a little peace of mind.
Well, and there's not just our personal information and, you know, our email and that sort of stuff. There's also evidence of a lot of naughty things that we might have done on our phones, too.
Are you speaking from experience?
I mean, come on. I think a lot of people have that sort of nonsense on their phone. I'm curious, though, if the government wants to get control of our phones to where they could kill it. You know, so they have, like, they could just, you know, get a warrant, or I guess the government does a lot of stuff without warrants, and how they could just, you know, shut a phone down, wipe all of its data, or, you know, or consume it by way of a Wi-Fi or cellular data network, and just absorb all that information right off the phone. Curious about that.
That's a catch-22, and whenever you put new features in like that, you know, the government and law enforcement is always going to want to have a little piece or a little inside of that, too. So you're getting a feature, but maybe you're giving up a little something, but if you're
All right, we're talking with Rick Limpert. He is a contributor to Yahoo News and sports technology writer. You can read his work on examiner.com. Heartbleed, the Heartbleed virus was a subject of a lot of talk a couple of weeks ago. In fact, the Canadian equivalent of the Internal Revenue Service shut down their operations online for several days in fear of losing information that they had stored on their computers. What's the latest threat to healthcare.gov?
Yeah, first the healthcare.gov said they didn't have a problem with it, but 10 days later they forced users to reset passwords for everyone that tried to enroll, and they said you have to create a new password. So they didn't say it's thing anything got compromised, but whenever you take a step like that, then something happened and they're trying to protect. So I applaud them for trying to protect people, but if they knew something was compromised, they should have come out right away and said that there was a problem.
Wait a second. Problems with healthcare.gov, Rick?
No.
You say it isn't so.
No problems at all. But as with any big site, I guess people should reset their passwords. If they're not even making you do it, you should have done that in the last week or so anyway.
Well, reset your password and then fire off a nice email to Kathleen Sebelius and tell her thank you so much for making a wonderful website for healthcare.gov. Google Fiber is finally making its way into New York City. Talk a little bit about that.
The Google Fiber is the quickest version of internet Wi-Fi that's out there right now. And Google Fiber now is on its way to New York City. So that's a signal to other cities that it will probably be coming to you at some point. It's been a success. Wherever it's launched, it's been a success. So New York the one that they're going to really do a lot of testing with, and if you can make it in New York, I guess that's the song, if you can make it there, you can make it anywhere. So Google Fiber is going to give it a go in New York, and we'll see if it can handle the volume.